Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast. We're excited to have you listen in to the things that God wants to impart into your heart. Because the more we dive deep into understanding how to receive grace and then respond with faith, the easier it becomes. And what I've discovered, as I shared yesterday, is that the more I've been receiving, the easier it is to do the believing. Receiving creates believing. Receiving creates believing. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power. For God so loved the world that he gave, that whoever believed. So grace comes first, belief comes second. We need to focus on grace, the person of Jesus. But when we get connected to him, when we get connected to Jesus, we're getting connected to grace itself. And then grace flows like a river in our lives, creating those shortcuts, helping us to get rid of shame and focusing on him. Today, I want to talk to you about focus and how to keep our eyes on Jesus, because the enemy's favorite weapon is distraction. Not really temptation, not persecution, not even doubt, but it's distraction, because if he can't stop you, he'll distract you. As a distracted Christian, you're an ineffective Christian, whether you're leading at home, at work, at church, or in business. The enemy doesn't need to destroy you if he can just distract you. Remember the story of Peter walking on water? Jesus is walking on the lake. The disciples see him and they're terrified. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come on then." And so Peter steps out of the boat. He does what no one else does, and he walks on water. He's defying gravity. He's doing the impossible. He's walking in supernatural power. He's living in that grace flow. He's living in that supernatural flow of power and grace, because he had his eyes focused on Jesus, who is grace. As he had his eyes focused on Jesus, who's grace, he was able to overcome every one of the natural environmental challenges that were happening in his life. The circumstances that were roaring and raging around him, he was able to walk above it. And this is the great challenge for us. The question is, there are two ways to traverse the ocean of life. One is to surf it, and one is to swim in it. And to swim in it means to be mired down, working so hard. To be surfing it means to be drawn along by the wind over the waves. And you imagine kite surfing. Well, suddenly that wind gets into that surf, into that kite, and you start to just scoot across those waves at such speed. And so that's the opportunity that we all have to either, there is an ocean in front of us, there are wind and waves, but we either can surf them, we can skate across them with the power of the Holy Spirit, or we can swim in the depths of it, get tired, striving, struggling. And Peter, while he had his eyes focused on Jesus, Jesus being grace, did the impossible. You will do the impossible too. God is waiting to do the impossible in you. Just keep your eyes on him. But what changed? As soon as Peter got distracted, and it says in verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. When he saw what was happening around him, he was afraid. When he got his eyes off Jesus, off grace, when you get your eyes off grace, you're going to sink. When you're not focused on grace, you're going to sink. And he began to sink and he cried out, "Lord," he looked back to Jesus, "Lord, save me." The question is, what changed? Did the wind suddenly get stronger? Did Jesus stop releasing grace to empower him to walk? No, Peter got distracted. He took his eyes off Jesus, looked at the storm, and the moment his focus shifted, he sank. You know what? You can walk above the problems and the challenges as long as you keep your eyes on Jesus. That's the promise. But if you look at the storm, you're going to sink. So there are three types of distractions that the enemy tries to use to pull our focus off grace. to pull our focus off Jesus. Distraction one is comparison. We start looking at what other people are doing, their success, their influence, their breakthrough, and suddenly you're not running your race anymore. You're measuring yourself against them. Comparison steals your focus. It shifts your eyes from Jesus to people. You know, when the woman with the issue of blood came up behind Jesus and she said to herself, "If I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." There was another miracle that was in play at the time, because before that, Jairus, the synagogue ruler, had come up to Jesus and thrown himself on the ground in front of Jesus and said, "My little daughter is dying. Please come to my house." And so Jesus says, "Yes, I'm going to come to your house." But every second that goes by, the daughter continues to sink further towards death. And so they're going along, and I can imagine as they're going along, they're trying to get him to move faster. And then Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" Well, I can imagine Jairus saying, I touched you. What are you talking about? Come on, I'm touching you. We need to get going. My daughter's dying." And Jesus stops dead and says, "Who touched me?" And finally, after an eternity, it seems, the woman with the issue of blood comes forward and says, "It was me." Now, you got to remember, Jairus is a synagogue ruler. He's considered righteous. The woman with the issue of blood is considered to be ceremonially unclean. She's come through the back. He's come through the front. And Jairus could have easily got his eyes off what Jesus had promised him and looked at Jesus' actions in stopping to help the woman. "Hey, I've come through the front door. I've humbled myself. She's come through the back door. She's crept up. I'm touching you. Not just her. I'm wanting you to move." But Jesus stops to heal a woman who to Jairus seemed unworthy of getting the treatment that she did compared to what he had done. And you can imagine that challenge going off in Jairus' mind. But here's what you've got to remember. When God stops to do a miracle for someone else, it's designed to cause your faith to grow. It's designed to inspire you to believe. It's not designed to inspire you to compare. Because if Jesus said he's coming to your house, he's coming to your house regardless of whether he stops once, twice, or 50 times. God wants us to celebrate what's happening in other people's lives, because if he's doing it for them, he's going to do it for us. And so comparison is a massive issue for us. It steals our focus. It shifts our eyes from Jesus, who promised, to people who seem to be holding up the process. And when you're focused on people, you start sinking. You've got to stay focused on grace. Don't compare. It's one of the reasons I went off social media. I don't want to compare my life to other people, because it's a distraction from my journey of grace. Number two is a distraction called criticism. Someone criticizes you, questions your motives, attacks your character. Now, instead of focusing on your calling and moving forward and on the grace that God wants to pour into your life, you're focused on them, on their critics. So you're defending, you're explaining, you're proving, you're striving. So criticism steals your focus. It shifts your eyes from Jesus to your reputation. And when you're focused on your reputation, you sink. Number three is circumstances. The storm gets louder, the wind gets stronger, the waves get higher. And suddenly you can't see Jesus anymore because the waves seem to be in front of him. And all you can see is the problem. Circumstances steal your focus. They shift your eyes from Jesus to the storm. And when you're focused on circumstances, you sink. Here's the scripture I want to leave you with today. Hebrews 12:2 says this: "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, on grace itself," focused on grace, "the pioneer and perfecter of faith, fixing," not glancing, not occasionally looking, "fixed, in place, non-swerving, intentional, deliberate, constant." That's why every day you've got to receive grace. Get your focus back today. Spend some time not drawn to the storm, to the critics, or the comparison. You have to fight to keep them on Jesus. It's not passive, it's active warfare. And as you do, You'll be shocked at the flow of grace that produces miracles. I believe God's got great things ahead for you. Whatever you do, don't miss this Sunday. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal as God continues to move in our campus, to move in our lives and change us from glory to glory. See you there.